I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Hip-hop music has gone from street to chic. You can catch banging beats just about anywhere these days, from an underground club to Carnegie Hall. This Sunday, renowned mixmasters DJ Shadow and Cut Chemist will scratch and spin at the famously highbrow Hollywood Bowl, home to the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. They're headlining the kickoff for this year's 9th annual World Music Festival. We'll hear from Cut Chemist a little later, but first, NPR's Farai Chidea got more on the upcoming show from Joanna Rees, a programming manager for the LA Philharmonic Association.
You always have such an amazing set of concerts at the Hollywood Bowl, and the Philharmonic is partnering with a local station, KCRW, in presenting a world music festival in its 9th year. DJ Shadow and Cut Chemist are performing. So is this unusual to have two DJs basically be the headliners of a show of this size?
I suppose you could say it's unusual. I don't believe that we've done it before exactly like this, but these are two world-renowned turntablists that it's astounding to see them in action.
Well, tell me more about the venue. How big exactly is the Bowl, and just describe it?
Well, the Bowl is an amazing venue, and it's a massive place. It's 17,416 is the capacity. Outdoor, under the stars. It's a beautiful, beautiful historic sort of Los Angeles landmark. We've been there since 1922, programming concerts. It's a real community feel walking into that venue. You can bring all your own food and wine and beer and everything. It's outstanding.
We've been doing this month-long series on hip-hop, and one of the things we're constantly talking about is how hip-hop has changed audiences, broadened its audience. What do you expect will happen when you have a situation where this kind of turntablism meets some of the people who might already just say, oh, I'm going to go because it's at the Bowl?
That's a great question. It's really been a lot of fun, I think, for not only the programmers, obviously, the audience is, you know, that's who we're programming for, and to challenge them to maybe check out a DJ act or a turntablist they would never go see if they weren't part of a subscription, or if they weren't going to see Carlinhos Brown or the other act on the show, Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars. And these guys, it's mind-blowing to watch these guys.
Tell us about the Bowl's relationship to hip-hop. Have you had other hip-hop artists before? Maybe name one or two.
Wyclef has been to the Bowl a number of times, and, you know, we love Wyclef. He's so much fun and so great and so much fun for the audience. Lauryn Hill came, but it was right after her second record.
More acoustic.
Yeah, and it was an acoustic show. We've really explored merging the hip-hop genre in with some of our other acts, and it's with great success. De La Soul is another one.
So how long does this World Music Festival continue?
The first show is this show on June 24th, this Sunday, and the final show is September 9th with Underworld.
Well, Joanna, have a lot of fun with that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea with Joanna Rees, programming manager for the Los Angeles Philharmonic Association. Farai also caught up with DJ Cut Chemist. The L.A. native has been on the turntables for rap group Jurassic 5, Latin funk ensemble Ozamotli, and most recently singer Shakira. His debut album is called The Audience Is Listening.
Did you learn to DJ because you don't like to dance? Like so many people I know, it's like, well, I don't want to be on the floor. I'll just be behind the decks. Don't mind me.
Quite contrary. I started DJing because I did like to dance. I used to break dance. But I also saw DJing as the reason that what made me want to dance. So I wanted to be in control on both sides. I wanted to be on the floor and made people dance too at the same time.
How did you get into this? I mean, how did you start listening to hip hop, and then how did you start DJing?
In 1984, when hip hop started crossing over, that's when I started taking notice and seeing, you know, guys spin on their heads. And I started recognizing it as a culture. There's a dress, there's a speak. So it just seemed pretty enticing as a 12-year-old kid, you know. You're pretty impressionable and you just want to be down. So I was into like Run DMC and LL Cool J and all that kind of stuff, but really investigating like the deeper side of New York culture, and then just like exploring all these little avenues and learning more about the music. And then that's when crate digging comes into it, and buying records and seeing what records were made to make this record. And
what is Crate Digging?
Crate Digging is just out there looking for records, plain and simple. It doesn't have to be any type of records. It doesn't have to be old, but it's just going to the store and doing your homework and just gaining knowledge of music and your craft.
Tell me about the audiences listening, which is the way that it's even spelled, AUDIENCESE, I'm sorry. It's about the audiences listening as opposed to the audience is listening.
Right.
Explain the pun better than I did, and then explain the music.
I don't know if I can explain the pun better than you did, because it took months. I went back and forth with, like, linguistic majors, you know, like, how should I do this? Because I don't want to rip off the THX moniker, audience is listening. A, I might get sued, and B, I'm just ripping it off. You know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, obviously, but I want to make reference to it, but I also kind of want to flip it and change it and put it in a new context, like I do with music. So that's where the title comes from.
What about the music?
The music comes from a lot of different places. There's lots of rock and Brazilian and jazz and soul and punk. And there was a song that was recorded in Brazil with some samba percussionists. Pretty crazy.
We've been asking a lot of people for this hip-hop series just to tell us who they like and who influenced them, things like that.
One of the first influences of my life, obviously, would be John Williams and listening to Star Wars soundtrack, because when I was 4 years old, I didn't have enough money to see the movie constantly around the clock. So my parents bought me the album. So I'd listen to the album and imagine watching the movie. It was kind of like training for making music, but envisioning things because a lot of my music I make is because I'm picturing something and I want to make a soundtrack to it.
So how did you get the name Cut Chemist?
Cut Chemist was given to me by a very good friend of mine's father. His name's Stephen Fowler. I actually dedicated my album to him. He's a world-class jazz musician and used to play with Brian Setzer Orchestra, and he came up with a list of 10 names in the late 80s when I thought my group was going to get signed to Jive Records. Boy, we were excited. And out of the 10, I liked Cut Chemist for its alliteration. So, and I didn't really think about all the things like chemical connotations and stuff like that. I was just like, oh, yeah, it sounds good. And then later I started to mold into the name, you know, and make these songs that referenced like making music like chemistry with elements. And so big up to Stephen Fowler for coming up with Cut Chemist.
Well, DJ Cut Chemist, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea with DJ Cut Chemist. His latest album is called The Audience is Listening.